From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And so much happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento, and we've shared this before, but we will share it again. Bishop Soto has released a statement and words of consolation following the campfire up in, Paradise is the one that keeps coming to mind for everybody because it's where so much of the devastation happened, but it affected other areas in Butte County and the North State as well. These are the words of Bishop Soto writing about this, just the devastation, just overwhelming, just absolutely overwhelming. The bishop says, and this is a quote, "The tremendous loss from the campfire ravaging parts of the diocese is devastating. The families in Paradise and the surrounding communities affected by the fire can rely on the support of our prayers. We also pray for the brave men and women responding to this disaster and battling the fires. May all those who have died in this catastrophic inferno be granted eternal repose in the merciful hands of the Lord Jesus." Yes, indeed. The fire, as we know, the death toll keeps climbing as into the 40s. The last time I saw, I think I saw 42. Some people still missing. We don't know if they're missing or if just haven't been really located. And hopefully most of those are just ones that got out but haven't. Nobody knows that they got out. And over 6,700 homes and businesses in the Paradise area, and the St. Thomas More Church in Paradise, of course, was somehow spared. Hopefully, that can be a gathering point for people and a place where they can find some solace as well. And you know, the fire's not over. Hopefully it is contained, and hopefully we won't have the winds that really help fuel these fires. They don't fuel it. The fuel comes from all the dryness around, but the wind certainly spreads the fire very quickly. The bishop adds intercessory prayers. And first, we'll quote Father Godwin Xavier, who's the parochial administrator at St. Thomas More Parish. He says, "I give thanks to the firefighters and first responders for all they are doing to save our parishioners and the community. The intercessory prayers for those who have lost homes, businesses, or loved ones in the recent wildfires at camp and throughout California, that they may find consolation in trusting that God will provide for all they need. Let us pray. We pray for the eternal rest of those who have died as a result of these fires, and pray that those who are missing or are still in harm's way will be found and protected. Let us pray. For our first responders, firefighters, and brave men and women battling fires and helping people to safety, that they may be kept safe as they work to restore calm and assist those affected by the wildfires. Let us pray. Lady of the Rosary, pray for all those devastated by this natural disaster and make fruitful our efforts to assist them." Now, if you want to donate, and we've talked about this before, but generally, and not always the case, and so you go online, there are a lot of places you can find what is needed, but frequently what is needed is cash, because that provides those who are in charge of relief really maximum flexibility in terms of purchasing what may be needed. But if there are items that need to be donated, you can find that as well. But don't just imagine in your own mind, like many of us do, like, oh, well, they obviously are going to need this, or obviously they're going to need that. I'm going to start a drive to get these items to these people, when in fact maybe that's not an item that they do need, and what they really would need is is the relief workers, if you have the cash, you can say, okay, this person needs this, and this person needs something entirely different. And cash does give you that great flexibility. If you wish to donate, you can send checks to the Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund. And every penny of this is going to go to assist those in need. Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund, and you send it to 2110 Broadway here in Sacramento, 95818. Or you can donate by phone. You can call the Catholic Foundation. The friendly people there will answer the phone and be very helpful in directing your donation where you want it to go. The Catholic Foundation's phone number is 916-733-0266. That's 916-733-0266. And you can donate online. SCD is the Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org/donate, and choose the Fire Assistance Fund right there on the website for the Campfire and St. Thomas More Parish. So again, send a check to the Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund at 2110 Broadway here in Sacramento, 95818. Donate by phone. Call the Catholic Foundation at 916-733-0266 or donate online, scd.org. That's Sacramento Catholic Diocese, scd.org/donate, and choose the Fire Assistance Fund for the Campfire at and care of St. Thomas More Parish. So, and above all, pray for all those people and their needs. Well, for all Catholic married couples, coming up on the 18th of November, you're invited to come meet married couples in your community of faith, openly discuss important issues. That's this Sunday. It meets from 3 to 5 p.m. at Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center, 6520 Van Maren Lane in Sacramento, in Citrus Heights, excuse me. You can learn how to live in today's world as a Catholic couple, of being married with children, share your marriage journey with others. For more information, give them a call at Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center, 916-725-4720, extension 311. Or you can go to ChristTheKingRetreatCenter.org to learn all about it, or send an email to gmathias@passionist.org. Again, that's this Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. There will be more gatherings in January and in February. Also, World Youth Day this year is in Panama. World Youth Day is a call to all Catholic youth and young adults to renew their faith in Christ and prepare themselves for the work of the new evangelization that lies ahead. But if you can't make it to Panama, even though we do have a contingent going from the Diocese of Sacramento, which includes Bishop Jaime Soto, you're invited to a virtual World Youth Day. You're invited to join an overnight pilgrimage in the Diocese of Sacramento at the Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax. So you're invited to join for fellowship, prayer, food, and a celebration through a live stream to Panama. It starts Saturday at 1 p.m., and the bishop will be featured on this live stream from Panama, and it concludes Sunday morning after breakfast at 11 a.m. The Trinity Pines Catholic Center is at 28,000 Rollins Lake Road in Colfax, right up Interstate 80. You can register for only $20 a person for everything, for your meals, lodging, everything. If you pre-register, you'll receive a World Youth Day t-shirt. Go to scd.org/WYD for World Youth Day. So that should be all kinds of fun, I would think, for everybody. As we that's in January. Generally, World Youth Day you think of is in it's in the summer, but this year it is going to be in the winter, in the dead of winter, if you will. Now, the Effective Director and Coordinator Series, Sacrament Preparation for Confirmation, the next meeting, and you need to maybe circle some of these dates, Wednesday, January 9, 9 to 11:30 a.m., Thursday, January 10, 6:30 to 9 p.m. For more information on this, you can contact Martha Haig. Martha is at 916-733-0131. That's 916-733-0131. So we'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at the thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Lincoln, for that. Thanks for all you do for our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're joined by Ned DeLessi, the former Executive Director of the California Catholic Conference. Ned, always good to hear your voice.
Likewise, Bob, and good to hear your voice and to be with you and the listeners again. And sort of strange to hear that word former in there, but I'm getting used to it.
Very strange for me to say that word former.
And I'm getting used to it, though.
Yeah, are you? Good. And I don't know if retired is quite the word. My mom told me she was never so busy as when she retired. So.
Yeah, busy with many things that you choose to do.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Well, many good things, I'm sure. A series that is coming up, starting on this Friday, Preserving Our Religious Freedoms with a Civil Voice, a Disciple's Responsibility to Engage in a Contentious and Challenging Public Square. Tell us, give us a little background on this. Where has this come from?
Sure. Well, this is an initiative Bishop Jaime Soto, Dr. John Jackson, the president of William Jessup University, and a number of the elders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it initiated out of some conversations that Bishop Soto had with John Jackson, and as we were engaging in issues around religious liberty in the state legislature in particular, mm-hmm. and with John Fish in the Interfaith Council, that you know they were having around the same you know topic generally, and so we chose to you know to move forward with conversations, and this ended up being a conversation between Bishop Soto and Dr. John Jackson, 'cause how we could move forward, and out of that emerged this sort of tripartite speaker series, as we all felt that there was a need to address the civil liberties question, but from the or the religious liberties question, but in the midst of to do a civil dialogue around it.
So, wow, that's a big chunk to chew.
It is, and you know, and I think the uniqueness of this particular event is that we had decided that we're all in this together, and that it would be formative for us to invite someone. In this case, this is Dr. John Mark Reynolds, who's a evangelical professor and theologian, and he'll be speaking at the LDS Center, the chapel. The chapel at Temple Hill, and then it will be followed up, we're assuming, next March, and then probably that's the next fall, by perhaps a Catholic speaker at either William Jessup or one of the significant evangelical communities in town, and then possibly an LDS speaker speaking at one of the Catholic venues. And so it's an opportunity for us to be formed together in conversation around how we, as a disciple of the Lord, could engage in more civil dialogue in the society.
Ned, the preserving our religious freedom, you know, we hear this, we know there's great religious persecution around the world. What are the concerns here in our country in terms of religious freedom?
Well, the concerns have been many over the course of time, and you know, we tend to be at the epicenter of it here in California. It does everything from, you know, life and family to you know, to the teachings within our public schools and the ability of parents of religious backgrounds to, you know, to have the primacy in terms of what they share with their students, et cetera. You know, we've struggled here around a number of issues that are quite clear. One of them, you know, in the most recent times was the whole question of how do I say this, the Cal grants in in faith-based colleges and universities.
Right.
And that unless, you know, unless we were willing to toe the line and say that, you know, we would be proclaiming the politically correct mantra of the day that students would not be eligible to receive Cal grants at these private faith-based colleges and universities.
Right.
And so that was one of the issues that emerged. You know, we're familiar with the Sacramento Life Center and, you know, Christian people getting together to offer an alternative to abortion and then being required by the government to promote abortion. And thankfully, we, you know, that case was decided in the Supreme Court to our favor.
Right.
But those are two examples of the challenge that we have for living out our faith publicly and collectively in the society. And yet, in the midst of the, you know, the what I think we could all admit is a rather contentious political discourse, we need to find new ways to address our concerns for the common good.
Yeah, you know, I've had the discussion with people who say, well, you know, the separation of church and state, you can't bring your religious views into the marketplace, into the political arena, if you will. And I say, well, you know, the Reverend Martin Luther King, Reverend first, before I call him doctor, I call him Reverend. He brought his religious views into the marketplace and got them literally written into legislation, if you will, even though it maybe wasn't written in a religious way. He was motivated by his religious belief. If you look at the letters from the Birmingham jail, my goodness, the Jesus is mentioned many, many, many times in those letters. And it's just, it's remarkable. If I believe in civil rights or equal rights or whatever, because I think we're all the children of God and we're all made in the image and likeness of God, that's not a valid reason. But if you believe in equal rights just because that sprung from your being, well, then that's okay to bring that into the marketplace. It's crazy.
It is. It's a, you know, it's commentary on our current understanding of religious freedom, one that is inconsistent with what the founders put forward in the American experience. They were deists for sure, and Christian yep. people in particular, and their interest was in not having the state proclaim one particular faith.
Right.
But there was a strong belief that faith influenced and, you know, created the experience of the American reality unfolding. And unfortunately, now we're moving to the point of where, you know, in our overly secularized society at the moment, there seems to be this reaction that that people of faith should not be able to articulate or express their faith. And, you know, we've seen this, you know, with the Catholic Church exiting the adoption and foster care industry because, you know, we won't, you know, choose not to place, you know, children in same-sex homes. And, you know, and yet at the same time, the, you know, the society would throw out all the good work that is done, you know, because we're not towing the, shall I say, politically correct party line. And those are, you know, those are just examples of the challenges that we face. And yet our real need at the moment is not to, shall we say, engage in a quote-unquote culture war. Our need is to engage in a civil dialogue and a respectful dialogue with our brothers and sisters in the society so that there's an opportunity to sit down and talk about, so how do we create this responsible civil dialogue, this responsible, you know, common society?
The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
Correct.
It was exactly what you said. Congress can't establish the Church of England or whatever it was that people
were escaped.
Or the Catholic Church or any other church. They can't establish that. There's no mention of separation of church. There's this giant wall separating church and state. And then
That's
the
correct.
Second part, which people tend to overlook, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
That's correct. The amendment has two parts.
Yes,
the establishment clause and the free exercise clause, and we choose to establish and to exercise, you know, how we move forward, and I think our society has that slightly skewed at the moment. But how do we do this as disciples? How do we engage this conversation amongst our colleagues and our friends and our family members? And that's the purpose of this event, is to work together as Catholics, as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and as evangelicals, all of whom, you know, publicly express their faith, and
right.
our Christian faith in particular. And this event, you know, has a particular Christian approach to it, but it's certainly not exclude, you know, we're not trying to exclude our Jewish brothers and sisters and the Islamic brothers and sisters and Sikhs, because they all experience the same struggle. But this is the beginning of the conversation among the three sort of primary Christian groups within the Sacramento area, and we're very excited about it.
So how can people sign up to come to this?
You know, you can certainly show up if you wish. It's at 7 p.m. at Chapel on Temple Hill, 2100 California Circle in Rancho Cordova.
Mm-hmm.
For people might know it as the Mormon Temple area
mm-hmm.
out there. And, you know, it's they can come up. It's at 7 o'clock. If you want to, you know, get more information on it, then let us know you're coming. Just go on the diocesan website is the easiest way to do it.
And
follow the link there. I think people will be very pleased, an opportunity to rub shoulders with other Catholics, with our evangelical brothers and sisters, and with the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and to hear a wonderful speaker, John Mark Reynolds. He's the president and founder of the St. Constantine School, a kindergarten through college program, and as a senior fellow in humanities at King's College in New York City. A fellow for the Center for the Science and Renewal of Culture and at the Discovery Institute. So we've got a person who will, I think, inspire us. It'll be an opportunity to hear some conversation, to engage in dialogue, to hear some more conversation and engage in more dialogue. So it'll be quite an enjoyable evening.
And here at the diocese, if you want a contact person, you can contact Laura Rios, and Laura is at 916-733-733. 0244. Again, it is this Friday, the 16th of November, 7 p.m., the chapel on Temple Hill, 2100 California Circle in Rancho Cordova. Ned, while we have you here, other things you're working on you'd like to share with us?
Sure. But just to add to the last little thing you said there, Bishop Soto will be leading the opening prayer.
Oh, wonderful.
And, certainly extends his invitation to all faithful Catholics in the area to please attend.
So, very good.
Working on this particular project on behalf of Bishop Soto, volunteering to do this, and then working with the what we call the Whole Person Care Initiative, which mm-hmm. many of our listeners have heard about, and we can chat about that in the future, but there's some very exciting things transpiring as we try and transform the end-of-life experience for people in our communities, how we understand and experience death, and how we take care of each other and the caretakers so that we all have the opportunity to die well. And that's a very exciting project that the California bishops mm-hmm. have partnered with Catholic Healthcare in the state. And it's unique and marvelous, and we've got foundations and donors and partners who are helping fund this. And so, but it's being played out in each diocese and eventually in each parish. And so look forward to talking more about that. So that's been on my mind, working as a sponsor of Providence St. Joseph Health, mm-hmm. the largest Catholic health system on the West Coast. And so that's been a little avocation of mine over these last years. And who knows? There's a traveling to see grandkids. number one priority.
That is a wonderful priority, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is, and just exciting time of life. So,
my mom
staying engaged.
Yeah, my mom always had a little saying on her wall when I'd take my kids there to visit grandma. It said, grandkids are God's reward for growing old.
Well, I've heard some others, but I won't mention them on the air. But yes, well, I will say there's a beautiful one that I heard the other day about our children are the rainbow, but the grandchildren are the pot of gold at the end.
Oh, wow. Oh, I like that.
Some old Irish saying, I guess.
So. Yes, there are a lot of good Irish sayings. Indeed.
There are. And I hope you and everyone there at Catholic Radio is doing well.
We are. We're now, believe it or not, in our 20th year.
20 years. Oh, my goodness. Well, and thank you for everything that you in particular and that Catholic Radio in general has done for proclaiming the faith.
Well, thank you for
helping
that.
Helping inform us as disciples in the world.
It's been a complete labor of love, a complete joy.
Yes, and, I'll look forward to chatting again. Get back in the... Perhaps working with some of the diocesan leadership here, we'll chat about the Whole Person Care Initiative in the future.
Very good. Yeah, that's, as you say, a very exciting program, I think. It's very necessary.
Yeah. And, listeners, please plan to attend this first of a three-part series over the next, 12 months or so, three different opportunities to hear three different speakers inspire us and challenge us and motivate us to engage in this larger civil dialogue to protect our religious liberty.
Very good. Ned, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for all you do, and we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, and God bless.
God bless, Ned. That's Ned DeLessi, the former executive director of the California Catholic Conference. Just done so much great work throughout the state of California, representing all the bishops at the California Catholic Conference. And this Whole Person Care Initiative is an exciting initiative. You'll be hearing more about it as the days and weeks and months go along. But Whole Person Care is so important, and it is an exciting program that has been put together and will bear great fruit, I am sure. Well, John Watkins joins us, the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. John, good morning.
Bob, good morning to you.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Terribly busy time for you, I'm sure.
It is.
And
yeah.
Terrible is the first word of that. It's mind-boggling. There aren't good words to describe what has happened. And between Santa Rosa and Redding and Paradise, We've always had joy in our hearts when we talk about the town of paradise, and a lot of little jokes about it. And I think the sign at the beginning of the town is something along the lines of, "We hope that you experience what our name means when you are in our town." And such wonderful people, and just a terrible tragedy that has befallen them with the camp fire.
It's devastating. Just working very closely with our Catholic Charities agency in the north, they lost their office in Paradise, obviously, and just the amount of staff that have been directly affected by this. It is it's a disaster on a whole another level. And proportionally speaking, it is really it's the worst disaster
Nothing
that this
close.
State has had in memory, and not just in virtually the whole town has been wiped out. And this is a town that's been there for over 100 years. Yeah. This is a beautiful community that has long roots. So it's very sad.
And it's a town of 27,000 people. I think a lot of us have thought of Paradise as quite small. I mean, it's a city.
Yeah.
And not that, magnitude necessarily, but as you say, when I first heard those reports that Paradise is gone, I thought, there's a bit of, breaking news, one network trying to outdo the other. And by golly, that was the truth.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's hard to imagine. We're kind of used to forest fires in California, and sure, the cabin in the woods might burn down, but now we're seeing urban fires in Santa Rosa, Redding. Not that some of those places, certainly it was the initial fuel was from the forest, but you're talking about major urban areas destroyed.
Right.
With very little warning for people to get out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I can just imagine, this is when everyone's asleep and just the fire just was relentless and moved so quickly. And just caught everyone off guard. And even though I think the community was kind of alert that something might happen, you never expect something like this.
No, and the winds, that's not unusual in the Sacramento Valley. We get the winds in the fall and the spring, the strong north winds. But everything's so dry. But once you get that wind, once you get fire, it just sweeps through everything so quickly. I remember the morning of, just was in my car just going somewhere and saw all this smoke in the north, and I thought, it's just probably some brush fire between here and Woodland. I live in Davis, and nothing to worry about. And then I thought, I wonder if that's what people in Santa Rosa thought. I wonder if that's what people in Redding thought. And you don't really believe, especially in a town, that it's ever going to burn the whole town. And I think that delays you leaving because you just don't expect that.
Yeah. I think we're all having to learn the hard lesson that these fires are very serious and devastating. So, there's so many people now, of course, that are calling and they want to help.
They want to help.
I think everyone is scrambling, really, to get organized. But it is also so important to recognize that with fires like this that have just wiped out a town, that a lot of the infrastructure, the hospitals have been wiped out, the police department, all the help to create order have been wiped out. So we are responding. I think the St. Vincent de Paul's have the various conferences across the diocese have really been very active. And then, of course, we've had a lot of the leadership in Chico has stepped up. They're taking on a lot of people. But really what we're seeing, because of the size of this disaster, that people are sort of going across the area. There's a lot of people in Redding, a lot of people in Oroville. A lot of people are coming to Sacramento. It's just
there aren't
no place for them to come back
there
to. It's not like a lot of other disasters where you have the initial evacuation and then most people go back home.
Yeah.
That's not the case this time.
And even just in terms of temporary accommodations like hotels and motels. You know, Oroville has a few, Chico has a few, Redding has a few, but they're not big cities. I mean, they're decent sized cities, but they're not huge cities. And cities like Sacramento are the only one that might have some accommodation. Plus, as we know in California, in the North State, vacancy rates are very low now. I mean, it's tough to find a place to live, and on a temporary basis, and you need it now, and you might not have resources to get into something.
And quite frankly, right at this moment, there's not enough shelter. There's not enough places for people to go. There are a lot of people staying in their cars. And, of course, the community's doing what they can, and people are opening up doors, and the parishes are stepping up. But it is really evolving right now, and we are continuing to work very closely with the first responder organizations, with the city and the county, the local VOAD, which is the organization that coordinates these disasters, is really just now getting in place. Unfortunately, there was not one in place beforehand. Uh-huh. So we're doing what we can, and we have really so many people that really want to step up and do things. And quite frankly, we're still very much involved with the disaster from the car fire even the fires from last year, the Yuba and Butte fires from last year. So we are continuing to be engaged on this, and we expect, unfortunately, we will be dealing with this for the next 24 months terms of maybe and beyond, because this is just something we have not experienced before.
Have we learned almost a little more than a year ago, the Santa Rosa, as not just first responders, but as responders to these disasters and the magnitude of them, have we learned anything from the Santa Rosa experience that we can apply to Paradise?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot that we've already learned. And, of course, each disaster is different. But there is a lot that we've learned. These are it's very technical when you're working with a disaster like this. Right. And you have to work very closely with the federal government, the county, and so it's not something that most agencies, faith-based organizations, don't have a lot of experience working that closely with these sorts of institutions. So we've learned a lot, and we have a lot more relationships internally that really helps. We also have an understanding of how these things progress, and we also know that initially it really is chaotic, and that's just something that you have to expect. We're hunkering down for the long haul. This is going to be something we need to be present. We need to be attentive to everyone that's been affected, and either directly, in many cases, indirectly, we need to be caring for people.
John, frequently people want to give stuff. And we hear sometimes that's not what you need. You need the flexibility of cash.
Right. What I say to people, and it's actually a really a good inclination. We want to help. And so there's a natural idea to have a clothing drive, diaper drive, food drive, any number of things. That's actually good. And if you really want to do that, but then give those things to your local food bank. Give to your local clothing distribution place. Why? Because they know how to distribute those things.
Exactly.
And they will get those things to where they need to go. And it may be needed up in the north. The problem is when you just dump them on organizations and they have no way to get these things out. Right. Time and time again, what ends up happening, unfortunately, is a lot of these items end up in the dump, and they're very good. So what is needed? Yes, gift cards are helpful.
Oh, very good.
But more importantly is money. And so certainly we're still helping out folks from the disaster through our fire assistance fund. Right. We're going to be using those funds to continue to help this disaster. And so we have on the website, on the main website, we have a way for folks to give, and those funds are given to support the disaster relief effort. And the primary folks that we give those funds to is our Catholic Charities Agency in the North, mm-hmm. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, and the St. Vincent de Paul. And we give that both to
On the ground there.
Exactly. So we give it both to the council, but we also give it directly to the conferences. And many times we give straight to a parish if a parish is like St. John the Baptist, which doesn't have a St. Vincent de Paul conference, but they're reaching out and they're doing a lot. So we will work directly with whatever Catholic agency that's responding and supporting. So financially, we want to support what they're doing to help the community.
And St. Thomas More, the church there in Paradise, is still standing.
It's actually still standing, yes.
And
that's correct.
Hopefully it can be a source of solace, a source of maybe even a gathering place for people, one of the few structures that is still there.
I really hope so. It really should be. I know that they lost their rectory, the new mm-hmm. rectory, the old rectory, and the parish hall, but it's a miracle that the parish is still there. And, yeah, I really do hope that this can be a source of hope in the community that really it will need to rebuild over the next 5-10 years. And there's going to be things that will never come back.
And don't forget these people a month from now or 2 months from now. No. You're right. It's not a one-time deal. It's going to be a long process. Go to scd.org, the diocese website, the Fire Assistance Fund. You can just send a check to the Diocese of Sacramento Fire Assistance Fund to send it to 2110 Broadway in Sacramento. The zip is 95818. You can call the Catholic Foundation to make a donation. Just specify what you want it to go to, 916-733-0266, or go to scd.org /donate and find the Fire Assistance Fund for the campfire. John, thanks so much for all you do. I know you've got to be on your way, but always good to see you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks,
John. God bless you.
God bless you, too. We'll take a quick break. Back with more in the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley & Associates.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Jennifer, and thanks for all you do up there at Trinity Pines. Well, we're pleased and honored to be joined by phone by Blake Young, the president and CEO of the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. Blake, good day to you.
Hey, good day to you, Bob. Thank you.
Awfully good to hear your voice again. I'm already thinking of, I hear your voice, and it's like a Pavlovian dog. I'm thinking of turkey. I'm thinking of jingle bells. I'm thinking of the change of seasons.
Yes, and I'm thinking I just turned 1 year older, right?
Yeah. Well, I know the needs go on all year long, but especially at this time, you have a couple of big events taking place.
We do. So this Thursday is our annual turkey drive with KCRA. We encourage folks to come out and drop off a turkey at our original location down in Oak Park. Saturday, we'll be distributing all of the turkeys to about 130 out of our 220 partner agencies throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, we'll be having a Thanksgiving distribution at our original headquarters down in Oak Park for about 4,000 families. And then we will wrap it all up and see everyone hopefully at Run to Feed the Hungry on Thanksgiving morning.
So how has your role changed in the last couple of years with, you know, in terms of your responsibility to the whole county now?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. Thank you. Well, I mean, simply put, we've become a wholesaler, not a retailer. So our primary responsibility is to get food and resources to all the partner agencies that actually help the direct client. We still have multiple programs that help the direct client, but in the food banking world, we're trying to get as much food and resources to them as possible.
And this is different from what you were doing before? Just an expansion of it?
It's mainly an expansion of it, but our primary focus is to make sure that folks like Loaves and Fishes or River City, they have the food that they need to be able to directly hand out to clients.
So with the turkey drive on the donation end of it, Thursday, what are the hours of that?
So the hours are from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 3333 3rd Avenue this Thursday.
3333 3rd Avenue sounds almost biblical.
It is.
A lot of Trinity in there.
thank you, Father Madigan.
Yes, Father Dan Madigan, the founder.
That's right.
And still with us. And I go to a fair number of events throughout the diocese during the year, and the one constant is Father Madigan's going to be there.
Well, he's going to be at the run this year with Bishop Soto, so we could not be happier. What a great way to celebrate our 25th year of Run to Feed the Hungry.
Yeah, and do you have a special T-shirt?
Well,
the silver anniversary T-shirt.
Well, we decided to do tie-dye, Bob. So you can go online and order a tie-dye 25th anniversary shirt.
Oh, how wonderful! It's from my past, the old tie-dye.
That's right. Why not?
Yeah, why not? That's great. That's wonderful. And the Run to Feed the Hungry, of course, is on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah, so we are really excited to celebrate our 25th anniversary. We certainly could not do it without all you folks out there. Looking forward to celebrating that and really just breaking bread with 30,000 of our closest friends. We're so grateful that this has become such a wonderful family tradition for people to come out, and it's just such a great platform for us to remind folks how many people out there are still struggling with food insecurity.
So this is the biggest Thanksgiving run in the country?
It is. It has been for quite some time. Yeah, there's a few biggies out there in the world, but we are still the largest.
Wow. Who else does this sort of thing?
There's a lot, but there's some food banks out of Texas. There's mm-hmm. some food banks in New York. Actually, a lot of food banks hold an event fairly similar to this. They just they're only a fewer to this scale.
Wow, it's become a complete institution. Blake, on Thursday, you'll take turkeys fresh or frozen?
That's correct. Yes, Bob.
And what about other sorts of fixins?
Yeah, so I mean the traditional fixins is but we have most of the fixins taken mm-hmm. care of. They're pre-bagged. Those that bring fixins, we will pass on to the agencies throughout the county.
Very good.
We want to focus on turkeys.
Very good. So fresh or frozen, and pack the kids up, take them to the grocery store, and let them know what you're doing so that you pass on the helping other people is what we're all about.
That's very well put. We call it a teachable moment. It's a wonderful yes. chance to bring your kids down and kind of experience the joy in doing stuff like giving back and helping others and volunteering.
And then on Monday, for those who wish to pick up a turkey and a meal, explain how that works.
You bet. Thank you. We will be distributing turkeys and fixins for families on Monday from roughly 8 a.m. till they're gone. I would say don't be in a hurry to get out there in the freezing cold, but our distribution usually lasts from about 8 o'clock till about 12:30. Anybody is welcome to come that's in need. What you should expect is to receive a turkey and all the fixins for you and your family.
Very good. And to sign up for Run to Feed the Hungry.
Yeah, go to runtofeedthehungry.com mm-hmm. or our website, sacramentofoodbank.org. And if you can't do the run, you can be a drumstick dasher or a virtual runner and support the organization that way.
A drumstick dasher. I love it.
You bet. You bet.
Do you have a full-time person thinking up slogans?
No, they just kind of fly out there in my brain and in some of our staff's brains.
Oh, that's great stuff. Blake, thanks for all you do. You have done so much for this community, and I'll tell you, there are thousands of people appreciative of the efforts of you and all of your staff and all your volunteers, and it's just made such a difference in the lives of so many people here in Sacramento.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're grateful for the support. We're grateful for you and grateful for our relationship with the diocese. We're very lucky to have an organization that's so well supported. So thank you and God bless.
God bless you too, Blake. We'll talk to you again soon.
That's, all right.
Thank you. That's Blake Young, the president and CEO of the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. And they're going to collect, 15,000 turkeys, something like that. It's just it's absolutely remarkable what they've done. And expect in the neighborhood of 30,000 runners. Bishop Soto will be out there to start the race, along with Father Dan Madigan, who was the founder of the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. So it's one of those, I know it's a feel-good story, but it goes on and on and on. It hasn't been a one-hit wonder. It's something that goes on. The very first run, they had 600 and some people, which is remarkable for the first of anything to get people out there, especially on Thanksgiving morning. But it's a great way to participate. And as Blake pointed out, even if you can't make the run, you can participate. You can become a virtual runner. You can be a drumstick dasher. I think, Gabe, I think maybe we should become drumstick dashers. But it's a wonderful, wonderful event. And it's not, you say, well, I'm not a runner. Many, many people out there with baby strollers, people are walking, people are doing whatever. It's a wonderful, wonderful community event. RunToFeedTheHungry.com to sign up. You'll get a great 25th anniversary t-shirt, apparently a tie-dye shirt this year, so that'd be very interesting. And really, for Thursday, to drop your turkeys off at 3333 3rd Avenue, it's just off of Broadway, you'll find that if you can take your kids to the store the day before, and they have fresh turkey, frozen turkey, whatever, they'll accept everything, and that's what their primary focus is, the turkeys. Take your kids to the store and let them know what you're doing. We're getting this turkey for people who are hungry, and we're going to take it over to this organization, and this is what they do. This is what their mission is, in addition to many other things. It's Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, and the Family Services is extensive and very, very helpful to thousands of people. But as Blake said, it's a great teachable moment for your kids, and it's a wonderful way to let them know. We always say the best way to teach your kids is by modeling, by role modeling, by showing them what you do with your life and how you help people. Teaches your kids from a very early age that this is a good thing to do, that this is why we are on this earth, is to help one another. So runtofeedthehungry.com to participate in the run. Thursday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., drop the turkeys off at 3333 3rd Avenue in Sacramento. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They're at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.